You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
When you're in need of inspiration, join the potentialist, Maggie Wilde, who will dare you to shine. No matter what challenge life presents, the potentialist will always help you reconnect to your authentic self, overcome unhelpful habits, reprogram the inner critic, and rewire your mind to attract what you want. With every episode, you'll walk away knowing that you are loved, loving, and lovable. Your time to shine is now. Here's the potentialist, Maggie Wilde.
Hey there, it's Maggie Wilde, the potentialist on Dare to Shine with Law of Attraction Radio Network. It is so exciting to be here today. I have some really great stuff to work through today. It's been a kind of an interesting couple of weeks given what's going on in the world, whether, you know, I'm from Australia, obviously, and there are parts of Australia that aren't in lockdown, that are parts of Australia that are, and there are parts of the world all over as well that are experiencing all kinds of levels of lockdown. And so today what I wanted to do in the two different parts of the show is spend the first part of today's show working through some of the kind of emotions that come up for us when we're in a space where we're feeling as though our freedom or our liberty or our right to even just go outside and exercise, our right to just be ourselves is being infringed upon. And so that can kind of bring up lots of different experiences, lots of different emotions. And, you know, I look at what's going on in the world right now as there's the immediate response, the immediate experience that some of us are going through, but also from a therapeutic point of view, I look at the longer term response and the longer term effects that we may experience throughout the world in many, many different ways and in different parts of the world, because obviously there are parts of the world that are affected far more, it's impacting the world in a far more way with more people being diagnosed, more deaths, and there are other parts of the world that for some reason haven't been affected as much as well. And whether that's through government, you know, ways that the governments have handled it, or whether it's through some other force in nature, who knows? There are immense different impacts that are happening with people around the world. And I've got some friends and my authors that live down in Victoria in Australia who have been in stage four lockdown now for a number of weeks. And they were in lockdown for quite a long time, and then the numbers started to drop, and so they came out of lockdown, and I think they were in stage two. And then all of a sudden there was a big outbreak again, and they went down into stage four lockdown again, and have been now for the last sort of 6 or 8 weeks or so. And so there's kind of this feeling of loss of freedom, this feeling of impatience to have a kind of pathway out. And one of the things that was really coming up for people was before the government announced that there was an end in sight, a date when we would start to be eased out of lockdown, there was this overwhelming feeling of being as though life was out of our control, and there were some frustrations that were beginning to build. And just recently, I think it was last weekend for us, the state government announced that Victoria would start to reopen again as of, you know, once the numbers got down to a certain level, the daily diagnosis was down to a certain level, then they would begin to gradually come out of that lockdown. So whatever happening in your part of the world, there'll be different stages of how what's going on in the world is affecting you, how it's affecting your loved ones, how it's affecting your work, how it's affecting many, many different things. But what I'm interested in today for the purposes of this first half of the show is to work on the emotions that are coming up. And so I asked my colleagues and my friends in Melbourne who are in stage four lockdown, what were the main emotions coming up for them? And whether this is the same for you wherever you are in the world or for people that you know, hopefully this will, you know, come in handy today if we use some brain training techniques to relieve some of that pressure, some of that internal stress that's going on, and help ourselves get through this. You know, it doesn't change what's happened, and I can't change what's happened. I wish I could wave a magic wand and the world was better. Yeah. All I can do is help change how we emotionally cope with that, but more importantly, how we cope with this long term. And that's really the key from the perspective I want to help with, is that, you know, whether it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whether it's 3 years down the track, there will be a flow on effect of how the experience that we're having in this world everywhere is being impacted by it in some way. And so if we can just begin to take a little bit of personal responsibility for how we're coping, within our own immediate family, within our own immediate work situations, and do our bit to keep ourselves emotionally and mentally as stable and emotionally and mentally as relieved of stress as we possibly can, in that we can cope on a day-to-day basis better. It doesn't change if you're in a part of the world where you are emotionally triggered by lockdowns. It doesn't change whether the governments have decided to leave a lockdown in place longer or to relieve and make a plan out of it. It doesn't change that. All I can do is hopefully give you some tools to manage your part of the world a little bit better. And, you know, when we manage how we feel, it has a flow-on effect. Obviously, the first layer is with our families, with the people that we see on a day-to-day basis. If we're doing our little bit for our little nucleus to manage a little bit better, then that has a flow-on effect for the world as well. And so I wanted to just address some of the, after doing a little survey with my friends and colleagues who are in Melbourne in stage four lockdown, I came up with kind of a theme of emotions that were coming up for people. The initial one was actually anger, frustration and anger, that the feeling has gone on for so long, that originally when it first happened, there was an acceptance because it, you know, the numbers were getting out of hand and everybody had the bigger picture at front of mind. And so everybody was accepting. Over a period of time, as the lockdown went further and further and more restrictions were put in place and you couldn't go 5 kilometres outside of your home, you couldn't see more than two people in your home, all those kinds of things, then the frustration was just beginning to grow more and more. And after many weeks of it, in fact, some months, the frustrations have kind of ebbed and flowed. And there's been moments of joy and moments of release and moments of relief, but then pockets of anger that their life feels out of their control and their freedom feels out of their control. And so we're going to deal with a couple of emotions and a couple of the early stage emotions that come up, the frustrations, and then we'll deal with a little bit of anger. And in our second part of today's show, what I want to do is actually, I know some weeks I'm having an interview with our authors, and we have a number of different topics. In the next couple of weeks, we have an addictions author. We also have a children's book author for coping skills. We have many, many other different authors that will be coming on talking about the strategies in their books and the books that have just hit Amazon. But today, what I wanted to do, and every couple of weeks I'll do this as well, because I love just being able to inspire people with a word or inspire people with a short saying, things like that. And one of the things that I really, really love are things like the decks of cards. And I've got a couple of decks of cards that I'll be making over the next couple of months. But I have just been obsessed by decks of cards throughout my life. I love them. And inspirational decks, whether they're intuitive decks, inspirational decks, whether they're animal decks or angels decks or whatever they are. And today I've been really drawn to this amazing deck of cards called it's the Medicine Cards by Jamie Sams and David Carson. Now, these medicine cards, I've had them for years and I just love them. And so today I'm going to draw a card and we will just see where that takes us, see where that takes us as far as an intuitive message that allows us to free something that's going on for, and whoever is listening today that this message is for, then that will be what it is. It is what it is, I always say. So that's what the plan for today is, to work on a little bit of clearing using our brain training skills. You've started to collect a couple of skills now over the last few episodes, and we'll be doing more of those and a couple of other different little ones throughout the next few episodes. And we're going to be working on frustration and anger, and a couple of other strategies for the types of language we use that inflames our emotions as well, because our brain doesn't know the difference between real and imagined. So if we, I have this saying that says, if you say so. So if you're saying to yourself, I'm hurt and angry, then our brain doesn't differentiate between the reality of that as a truth or the imagined scenario or the trigger of the past anger that made us angry in the past, okay? And so what we want to do is have some skills to be able to recognize that perhaps we have more control of how we're feeling than we originally thought. And I have some amazing little techniques that are about resistance language, language that inflames the brain, the parts of our brains that stimulate emotion, versus what I call health language, where the language that soothes and calms the emotion, soothes and calms the hormones and the chemicals that are released by the brain, and therefore we're more able to manage our emotional state. So when we're using resistance language, we are tending to inflame the brain, creating emotions and triggering further emotions that inflame that. And when we use health language, we're calming that down. We're creating less, triggering less of those emotions in the brain that inflame. And so there's ways to manage anger and frustration. And usually when we are in an angered state, we're using some kind of inflammatory language in our, whether it's self-talk, whether it's the inner chatter that we have. So we're talking to ourselves about how terrible this situation is and how frustrating it feels and how, and so that internal chatter is inflaming the emotional center of the brain. If we are in a calm state, we're often having more peaceful internal chatter as well. And so we've got some great little techniques where you can just recognize, am I using inflammatory language right now? And recognizing if we are in a state, if we just backtrack for the last 10 or 15, 30 seconds, the way that our brain has been following a pattern, we usually find that we've been exacerbating how we're feeling by the internal chatter that we're using. And then when we begin to say that out loud to people, and we're using the shoulds, and we have to stay indoors, and we're not allowed to go outside, and all of those things, then we're using that language that is not only inflaming the tension in our body, but we're also then triggering potential inflammation in the other person as well. And so our role, and it's the only thing that we can do, is take control of our role in all of this, our part in the world, our part and the part that we play in our immediate family, in our immediate colleagues and friends and work situations, and of course in those that we care about on a bigger scale as well. So, resistance language versus health language. Whenever you catch yourself saying should or I have to, you know, with what's going on in the world right now, the have to's are pretty big right now. So, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, I have to do this, or I have to, some parts of the world even have curfews. I know Melbourne had a curfew where you had to be indoors by a certain time. I have to, you know, cancel my party that I had going because you can only have 10 people in a room right now, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. Even the simple day-to-day stuff of I have to go to work, or I have to clean the house, or I have to eat healthy instead of, you know, having my favorite little snacks or whatever it is. All of that have to and should do stuff is actually triggering inflammation in the emotional part of the brain. So if we were able to just recognize the internal chatter that we do have that is potentially inflammatory. In times of stress like this, we're able to do one little thing, one little step to just pause what we have been saying to ourselves, recognize it, then do my little brain training technique to pattern interrupt that language so we clear a space in the brain, which is to roll our eyes. So if we catch ourselves feeling a little bit frustrated, a little bit angry about something, then we just recognize, well, what's the internal chatter I've been having? So we pause, take a deep breath, breathing in, and then breathe out twice as long through the mouth, and we just ask, okay, what has the language pattern been in my mind? What's the internal chatter? And most often there will be a progressive trigger. So we may have been triggered by something external, being told we can't go outside or we have to be in by 10 or we have to do this. And our brain has then taken that internal chatter and taken it to the next level and escalated it. It's so frustrating that I have to do this. It's so frustrating that I can't do that. And so we just simply pause, recognize, is this helpful for me right now? Is it helpful for myself or my family or those that I care about that I'm building this energy inside? If it's not, then just decide. It's your choice. That's all you have to do is decide to do an eye roll. And then we don't mean those kind of eye rolls we do when somebody frustrates us, like, oh my God, here they go again. I mean an eye roll that is specifically done to wipe the slate clean in the brain, to clear the brain just for a couple of seconds so that we're no longer thinking or feeling the same way. So if we built that frustration, we just recognize on a scale of 0 to 10, 0, it's nothing, I feel fine, 10, I'm really, really, really frustrated. We stop, pause, take the deep breath, breathe out through the mouth twice as long, and then roll the eyes one way, very, very slowly. Roll the eyes back the other way. And then we just choose to make a health statement, an internal chatter, either out loud or silently in our own mind, that is about using health language. So it could be simply, there are two key health words, yeah, words that create a healthy internal environment. One is choose, and the other is get to. Well, it's actually two words, get to. So if we choose to and get to do something, then we're more likely to create a peaceful internal environment, or indeed we're more likely to create something that's even a little bit better, something that's a little bit more excited, anticipatory, something that brings a positive energy to our internal state. If you think about a child, if you have children yourself, or if you remember back to when you were a child, if you were told you have to go and clean your room, or you have to go to school right now, or you should eat everything on your plate, or you must do this, or you must do that before you can go outside and play, then our brain from a very, very early age is pre-programmed to resist, not like, yeah, to resist being told that you have to or you should do, that you shouldn't do X, Y, Z. So our brain from a very early age is pre-programmed to not like being told what to do. And if you look at everything that's going on in the environment right now, worldwide, governments, whether it's state or federal governments, are telling us what we should do or what we have to do. So the governments, for the protection of the members of our community, are trying to minimize the spread of the COVID-19. But what we're seeing it as, our beautiful brain, even if we think at a conscious level, it's right, we need to do this in order to protect our community and to protect ourselves or our seniors or those that are at risk. However, our brain is pre-programmed to not like being told what to do. And so every time we are told we have to do something or we should do something else, every time we then repeat that to ourselves, I can't do this because the government said or the state said this or the mayor said that or the whatever, yeah, we then exacerbate that inflammation and the little niggliness that comes up from an internal, very, very deep-seated internal unconscious programming from when we were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old being told we have to go to school or we can't do this or we have to do that, then that programming is automatically, unconsciously going to make us feel frustrated, angry, and let it escalate. If we can recognize that that's not our fault, okay, we are programmed to do that, is our brain's pre-programming to try and find our sense of independence. Now, a young child doesn't resist being told what to do because it wants to hurt or upset its parents. A young child resists it in order to, it's a stage of growth. We resist it in order for us to learn our position in the world, to differentiate ourselves as we grow from being totally dependent on our parents for everything from, you know, food and water and being fed to being, even to be, you know, later on when we start to be able to dress ourselves and feed ourselves, all of those things. The brain is pre-programmed to find our sense of independence. So when the parent is still saying you have to, or in this case, the governments and the states who are putting restrictions in what we can and can't do to protect our communities, then the brain is going to be pre-programmed to resist that. And it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just an unconscious response that we're pre-programmed to do as our brain learned to be independent. And our role as an adult now is to help ourselves first, because we have the ripple effect. You know, we are the center of our universe. So everything that we do, everything that we feel impacts those around us. We have a ripple effect, an emotional ripple that goes through our body and that others feel and sense. And so our role is first to be the center of our universe and calm that ripple. Yeah, so that ripple is a peaceful ripple. It is a ripple of positivity and a ripple of hope. And when we experience that, we then have the ability to either choose consciously to help those that we love around us, the immediate circle that we speak to teach them how to calm their internal state as well, or just walk the walk and notice with curiosity how that has its own little unconscious ripple effect anyway. So the deal is, the first step, of course, is to recognize when we are in an internal state that is unhelpful to us, that is exacerbating the ripple effect in an unhelpful way. And then recognize that we have a choice to either stay that way, no right or wrong in that, it's just a choice, or if we wish to, we can choose to change that state. We can choose to do just one thing, which is to take a deep breath, recognize we've had some internal chatter that's not been helpful, and it's not our fault because it's been triggered from when we were 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, and we were just pre-programmed to be like that. And our role is to decide, do we want to choose our independence by choosing how we feel rather than, you know, being told that we can't go outside after whatever time or that we can't have more than 5 people around in the house and get frustrated about that. We choose our independence to be okay with that for the moment. Yeah, it's just for the moment. You know, this too shall pass. At some point in the world, there will be a time where this calms down. Now, whether that's once we have vaccines or whether that's, you know, some other way, some other miracle, whatever happens, at some point, this too shall pass. We will live in a world where COVID-19 is under more control. And so our lives have the impact right now, and we have the choice to either live through this experience with stress and then wait for what happens in the future, whether that's 6 months down the track, 12 months down the track, 3 years, 5 years, where the trauma of how we've handled this either happens or doesn't. And we have that choice right now in this very moment. That's the thing that we are in control of, is how we react to this, not just now, but in 2 years' time. How our family copes with this, not just now, but in 2 or 3 years' time. Because everything that we do now will have a long-term impact on our physical health and our emotional and mental health. And so our role now is to help ourselves and be that ripple effect for our families. And then our family can be a ripple effect for the family down the road. And then the families down the road can be a ripple effect for the next community and the next and the next and the next. And that's what we can do, just starting with us. Yeah. So first step is to stop, to breathe, to recognize, okay, this state is not helpful to me. And even though I'm not liking what I've been told I have to do or that I can't do, it is a choice to how I react with that. And the unconscious reaction is from when I was much younger, as I learned to not like being told what to do, to not like being restricted and my freedom being impacted. And so we can choose then to take a deep breath, breathe out twice as long through the mouth, roll the eyes in a circle one way, and all the way back the other way. And then just simply recognize, that reaction is not me. That is just wiring firing. Just listen to that. That reaction is not actually who I am. It's a reaction of wiring firing in my brain, a belief and a response and a reaction that I learned as my brain developed when I was very young. And it was a response that was helpful to me to learn how to be independent. And I can either use it to my advantage or let it be a disadvantage for me right now. And so I get to choose. Remember, we use health language. We've been saying have to, should do, can't do, must do. And so now we're going to, after we've rolled the eyes and we've taken that breath, we've cleared the brain to choose different language. And if we were then to say to ourselves just calmly, I get to, and think about something positive that you can do right now. So I get to spend more time with my children. I get to potter more in my garden. I get to, if you've had time off work and you've had to work from home, I get to work from home now. I get to do whatever it is. And if you can't find anything positive, then just simply state, I choose to feel calmer. That's all you need to say. Yeah. If you cannot right now think of anything positive about your circumstance, don't beat yourself up about that. Just simply say, I choose to feel calmer right now. I choose to feel calmer right now. Take a deep breath in and out for twice as long. And again, breathing in and out for twice as long. I choose to feel calmer now. And I guarantee just by doing that, your internal state will change. Now, it doesn't change what's happening in the world. I know that. And there are some very, you know, very unhelpful in some parts of the world, some terrible things. In some parts of the world, just catastrophic things happening right now. So it doesn't change that. But it can change how you respond to this in the long term, not just in the short term, how you cope in the long term and in the short term. And remember, at some point, whether that is in 6 months, 12 months, or 5 years, or 10 years' time, at some point, the world will have learned how to cope with this much better. Like the common cold, you know, is now something we just accept is something that happens sometimes, yeah? Like other viruses and flus that we've learned how to manage better in the world. This will be one of those at some point as well. And our role is to help ourselves and our families through that and just get through. Yeah, just get through in the best way that we possibly can now. Find the joy, find the things that we can do, the things that we can choose to do, the things that we can allow ourselves time to enjoy and smell the roses. You know, there are some things that have happened in recent months and this last kind of 6 months, especially since the world went a little topsy-turvy. There are things that have happened that initially I thought were just you know, horrendous, and it was terrible. It was going to change the way I did the world, and blah, blah, blah. And as the 6 months has passed and time has gone on a little, then there are positive things that have come out of that. And so I'd love you to just ask yourself every now and then, is there something that I'm still reacting to that is just a pre-programmed reaction, that because it was a terrible thing when it first happened, has there been something positive that's come out of that for you? Like some people lost their job or had to work from home and couldn't go into their place of work anymore. And initially there was shock, there was fear, there was lots of stuff going on. But for some people, they've been able to go, well, actually, the good thing that's come out of this is I prefer it. The good thing that's come out of this is that I get more time at home, or I've learned how to, I don't have to go back to the office if I don't want to, that even my company has decided I could work from home more. And so at some point, if you can ask yourself, is there something positive that for you, even not on a global scale, yeah, this is just for you in your world. You're the one that lives in your world. You're the one that deals with your family circumstances and your community. And so is there something that's positive that's come out of this for you? And even if it's only just one thing, which is I got more time to spend at home, or I got more time, I didn't have to rush to work in the morning, I got to spend an extra hour and I could have a coffee in the garden, yeah, and just breathe for a few extra minutes. If there is some one, just one little positive thing, I want you to hold on to that one positive thing and begin to make a list of them. So if at first you can think of one, often the brain is kind of clever and tricky like that. Often we can resist not being able to see positive things that are coming out of terrible things, yeah, and our brain will resist seeing it because our brain initially is looking for what's wrong. We're pre-programmed to look for what's wrong. Eventually, when we find the one thing that is right, then it often has a snowball effect because wiring that is wired together in the brain fires together. Okay, so if I ask someone, say for instance in my Unzip book, I would be talking to clients when I was treating clients with this about, you know, tell me one thing that you like about your body. Now, the brain was pre-programmed for a lot of people to not be able to find one thing. Yep, they could give you, if they said, tell me what you don't like about your body, they could list 20 things, you know, don't like my hair, don't like my bum, don't like my this, don't like my that, my fingers are too short, my legs are too this, my bum's too that. Yep. If I then asked them to find one thing they liked, for some people, it would take them 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds or more. Some people could not even after a minute or two of prompting, could not find one thing that they genuinely liked about themselves. However, even if I said to them, what if you just like your fingernails? Yep, something that's completely, you know, obscure to how people normally think about a body. Yeah, what if you just like your eyelashes? What if you just like the shape of your mouth? What if you just like your ears? What if it was the color of your eyes? What if it was the way your hair just kind of flicked across your face? If there was one thing that was not about the way your body looked, the shape of you, the size of you, what if it was just about something else? Yeah, often when somebody could find that one thing, even if it was the colors of their eyes or the length of their eyelashes, then within a minute or two, their brain would also go, oh, actually, well, you know, I don't mind my left elbow. Or actually, I don't mind the fact that the shape of my nails when I let them grow is really natural, lovely shape. Or actually, I don't mind it when, you know, I come home from the hairdressers and I've had a really great experience there and I come home and I look in the mirror and I feel proud of myself. Within a few minutes, by finding one thing that you do like that was positive, then your brain begins to remember others. So that's what I want you to do with regards to what's going on in the world right now, is just think about the one thing. Don't try and find 10, don't try and find 20 or 30. If there is just one thing that's been a positive outcome for you in these last 6 months and that will be a positive outcome in these next 2, 3, 4, or 5 months or more, then I just want you to write down that one thing and remind yourself after that. So after you've done the resistance language and transferred it into health language, so the have to's and the should do's and changing it into I choose to and I get to, you've rolled your eyes and you've breathed in and out. In that space in your brain, then try and find the one positive thing. If you found that one positive thing, just remember it and repeat that every day. Yeah, it's really great that I get to spend more time with the kids. It's really great that actually I get an extra half hour in the morning to have some me time with a cup of coffee and overlooking the garden. Or it's really great that, there's, because of the curfew, there's less people at the supermarket and I get to get in and out really quickly. Find the one positive for you. Yeah. If you then find your brain gives you lots of others, just keep jotting them down and make a list for yourself to remind your brain. Your job is to control the impact that your thoughts are having on your internal state. And that means having the time and the choice to take charge of the inflammatory internal dialogue, the dialogue that causes emotional inflammation. Yeah, that's all it is. One negative thought, one inflammatory thought, one resistance language, have to, should do, must do, can escalate if you let it get out of hand into weeks, months of anger, frustration. It can, for some people, actually influence a trait. It becomes the kind of person you think you are. Say for something terrible happened to you when you were, 15 or 16 and you never quite got over it and nobody ever helped you through it and you didn't learn the skills to get through it. And that created an anxiety in you. Yeah. Then all of a sudden your brain learns anxiety. It learns inflammatory, anxious thought patterns. If that goes unchecked and you aren't given the tools to manage that well, you could get to the age of 30, 40, 50, 60, or even 80. I've had, you know, a gentleman come to me in my practice when he was 80, and he'd had this incredible anger that had just been building up all his life. And it wasn't until he learned how to do resistance language and change it into that health language, that choice language, was he able to actually begin to diffuse that anger. And he thought he was just the kind of person who was always angry. And everybody used to complain about the fact that he was just an angry man. Yeah. But in fact, he wasn't. He learned how to do anger. And he learned how to do it for so long, he even thought it was who he was. And so I'm asking you now, to use this time in a very, very unusual time of the world to choose the trait that you're going to teach your brain, to choose the trait that you can be remembered for in 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years' time of how you handle this experience. And do you come out of this as the kind of person who is resilient or the kind of person that thinks they are angry or thinks that they are wounded or thinks that they are hard done by? And that is a choice of how you handle this right now. And I'm not saying it's not tough. It is. For some people in the world, they are going through some very, very, very hard times. And my heart goes out to you. I send from my heart to yours every hope and chance and joy and every moment of love that I can possibly send you to help you through this. But if you can just choose to do the one thing you can do for yourself, is just be curious. Be the curious detective about the inflammatory language that you're choosing. And don't fall into the habit of becoming the angry person. Perhaps you get to be to choose to be the hopeful person. Perhaps you get to choose to be the one that always sees the positive. Perhaps you get to choose to be the person that calms the rest of the family down. Perhaps you get to be the person that reaches out for help more. Yeah. You know, sometimes as parents, we just you know, try to think we have to push through and soldier on. And maybe, just maybe, it's about recognizing that we're all going through stuff right now. And you are, your neighbor is, you're the lady around the corner is, the gentleman across the road is. And it's really important to remember your role is to manage you, then begin to have that ripple effect by choosing the difference between resistance language, which is inflammatory, and health language, which is calming. And the internal state of how we cope emotionally, mentally, and physically, and how we're going to our physical bodies. Yeah, there is so much evidence out there that stress today causes disease 3 years down the track, or 5 years down the track, or 10 years down the track. If we can handle this stress right now and learn ways to do this that soothe our inner soul, that soothe our brain and soothe our emotional chemistry, then we have this incredible opportunity to be the healthiest version of ourselves through this transition and way beyond it. And we can do that for ourselves, and we can do that for our children, and we can do that for our families and our community. That's the one thing we can do. I hope this has been incredibly helpful to you. In our second part of the show, remember, we are going to use our medicine cards. I've got loads of different decks of cards, and over the coming weeks and months as well, I will use a number of different cards, as well as my cards that are coming out very soon, because I love just letting the universe as well help us work out how to take the next step and to trust and to connect. And into the second part of today's show, I will draw a card. I might even draw two or three, and we'll just see what comes up intuitively for me. But I want you not just to listen to what I have to say. At the same time, I want you to take a deep breath and intuitively, what message has that got for you? What message does that internal part of you, remember, you are the guru inside of you too. You know more than you think you know. Your subconscious knows more than you think you know. You know and remember everything. Yeah. But our conscious mind can remember a certain amount, and our unconsciousness remembers everything. And, you know, if you ever had an experience where you just feel like you know something, when somebody tells you and you get this aha moment, you feel like you knew it, yeah? It's because you did. You were connected to the universal, all-knowing, all-seeing. And I want you to connect with that as well. Don't just listen to my intuitive interpretation of today's card reading. I want you to connect to it for you as well. Connect to what is that message for you. So just taking your time to breathe, connect to it, and see what message the inner you. Practice with it in the coming weeks and months as well. You're listening to Maggie Wild, the Potentialist. This is the Dare to Shine program on Law of Attraction Radio Network. We'll see you in the second half of the show.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Welcome back. It's Maggie Wild, the Potentialist, and you are listening to Dare to Shine on Law of Attraction Radio Network. And remember, this is your time to shine. Now, in our first part of the show today, we looked at our resistance language versus health language and how we can control that inner emotional state in order for us to be able to get through not only what's happening right now, but what's happening in the months and years to come as well, how that's going to impact our emotional, mental, and physical health, and those that we love as well. But for the second part of the show today, I wanted to actually bring one of my favorite things to do, which is to use decks of cards and inspirational decks, intuitive decks, all those sorts of things. And today I've chosen the medicine cards, which are beautiful cards by Jamie Sams and David Carson. And for those of you who have used these cards before, I just love, love, love them. And so I'm going to choose a card and just see where that takes us. And remember what I want you to do. It's not so much about what, because I believe we're all our own internal master. We're all our own internal guru, if you like, and depending on whether we get our connection to the universe through God source or whatever language you want to call it, or whether we get it through our internal wisdom and connect to our higher states from there, it doesn't really matter what language you call it. It doesn't matter what connection you have. I believe we're all intuitive beings. I believe that when we stop and listen and we get the white noise out of the way, the noise of life, the fears, the emotional states, all of those things, and we find an inner calm, then we usually have an inner voice. We usually have little gifts of wisdom that come to us from, whether it's internally, whether it's externally, whether it's from a higher source, whatever it is for you, trust that process for you. And there are ways you can learn how to connect to that intuition more deeply. But one of the ways to do that is through practice. So I'm going to draw a card, and I want you to just choose for yourself to stop, pause, take a deep breath, breathe in and out through the mouth. So breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth for twice as long. Roll the eyes in a circle one way and out. And then in that space in your brain, ask yourself, does the message of that medicine card, the one that we draw, does that have a personal message for you? Okay. So it's not just about the message that I bring forward. It's what is the message that you bring forward? So actually, while I was shuffling, the Black Panther, which is card number 52, actually turned itself over and flipped. And so I'm going to start with the Black Panther card. So what I want you to do is take a deep breath, breathing in. Breathe out through the nose, or sorry, breathe out through the mouth twice as long. And again, breathing in. As you think about the Black Panther, roll the eyes in a big circle one way. And all the way back the other way, just clearing the clutter of the day. And just closing your eyes, just think about the Black Panther. And does the Black Panther have an intuitive message for you, or what's happening in your world right now, what's happening in your life? Now, for me, the Black Panther says there's a kind of a studiousness to, if you have actually got the medicine cards, when you look at the image of the Black Panther, he's peering out through behind the leaves, and his eyes are just these penetrating eyes. And so to me, the Black Panther's message is that you're seeing something much more clearly by just pausing in the moment and being able to clear what's been going on for you in your reaction, and let yourself see something that's happening in your life right now, something that's happening around you, that there's some emotional clutter that's in the way of you seeing something very, very positive, something that's about to just clear, something you've been confused about, something that you've either even been hiding from, possibly, whether it's through kind of reticence or through fear. There's something that you're about to see much, much more clearly. And if you can, even using some of the skills we've been learning over the last few episodes of clearing your mind, even that eye roll that we do in order to find a little space in the brain, in order to look at something that you're experiencing in your world right now from a new perspective. And it's like the cloudiness, the kind of clutter that's around it. It's like it wants to clear, but there's something in your emotional state that's actually holding it back from being able to clear and just crystallize that the image that you present to the world, or the way that you're seeing this experience or this thing that's happening in your world, that you'll be able to see it much more clearly in a very, very short time. We're talking kind of a week or two. It's about choosing to manage something. Even if you used some of the techniques we used from the earlier part of today's show, perhaps if you look at that thing that's been concerning you right now from a new perspective, you might just be able to look through the cloud, look through the clutter, and see it in a new perspective, see it in a new light. So that's the Black Panther. And perhaps the panther is saying something to you. So again, I want you not just to be aware of what I've said. I want you to take the time to close your eyes and ask, what is the Black Panther saying to you? Is there some kind of message that is helpful for you right now? And I've just pulled also, this is interesting, the medicine cards have a number of lots of different animals, obviously animals, birds, fish, but they also have blank cards. And the one I've pulled right now is actually a blank card. So that means you get to choose intuitively what animal has a message for you right now, animal, fish, or bird, okay? So what I want you to do is just close your eyes, take in a deep breath, breathe out through the mouth twice as long, and again. Roll the eyes one way, roll them all the way back the other way, and just closing your eyes, is there an animal, bird, or fish that has a message for you right now? Now, for me, I'm getting an image in my mind of a swan, which is really quite interesting because I've never really related to a swan. I don't really, and it's a white swan. And to me, intuitively, what that says is about smooth sailing. There's an image of the swan kind of moving across very still waters. And that says to me that something that's been going on is about to get a little smoother. It's about to feel a little calmer, feel a little more manageable and a little more copable. And I think it's about the ability to recognize that rough waters, that it's felt as though rough waters are stopping you from experiencing something. And it's kind of like the Black Panther as well, where if we just do something in order to manage the cloudiness that the panther was showing us was in the way of us seeing something more clearly, the swan to me is saying that beyond that, there's smooth waters, it's smooth sailing. If we can possibly decide to just begin to take control of that more and begin to experience our internal state and manage our internal state more, then not only will we clear the fog and clear the clutter that's been in the way of us seeing that thing more clearly, it's smooth sailing after that. And the swan's kind of there just looking around, very proud, neck high, but the water is so calm and the swan is just gliding across the surface. The surface is like glass. And for you, I want you now to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and then roll your eyes in a circle one way, roll them all the way back. And because it was a blank card, if the swan resonates for you, fabulous. If it doesn't, what is the animal, bird, or fish that comes to your mind right now? And just as I begin to shuffle the cards one more time, I want you to just allow, because your subconscious mind is more powerful and knows more than you think it knows that it has some kind of gift message for you right now. What is the animal that comes to mind, the fish or the bird, and what's the message that will help you get through something in your life right now? I'm just going to continue to shuffle while you experience that for yourself right now. And as soon as a particular card pops itself out, here we go. Oh, the badger. Now, the badger's interesting. I'm going to take a deep breath on this one because the first thing that came to mind is things aren't always black and white. So that was the first thing that popped into my head when I saw the image of the badger. But for you, again, take a deep breath in and breathing out with the mouth open. And the badger, instinctively, the first thing that popped into my thought was things aren't always black and white. So what is it in your world right now that you're seeing as either one way or another? And perhaps there's a different perspective. Perhaps there's a new way of looking at this, a new way of addressing this or seeing this. And it's kind of a perfect card that for me, for this particular, the three cards that I've drawn, flows on from the Black Panther, who was looking out in order to clear the cloud or clear the clutter, clear the fog in order to see things more clearly. And the Swan, if we do this smooth sailing, the Badger is just confirming to me that it isn't one or the other. It could be something new, a new perspective you haven't actually even considered as yet. And that new perspective brings a total new way of handling whatever this is that's going on in your world. And, you know, there are things that are going on. If this world, if this reading is, I point it towards my world at the moment, there's things going in my work life and things going on in my personal life that this is making complete sense to me. But for you, I want you to, if the, that particular result for you resonates as well, fabulous. If not, remember this reading is for you to, it's about you finding you and you finding your internal guidance, your internal message as well. And so pause, take a deep breath in, breathe out for twice as long. Roll the eyes in a circle and all the way back again. And what is it that the Badger says to you? Or if it is about, it's not just black and white, there are many new perspectives, many ways of handling this. Whatever that is for you, what is the gift that your intuition gives you about, it's not black or white? It could be many things, many versions, many variations. That's right. And it reminds me, as you continue to just allow your subconscious mind to speak to you and provide that message for you, it actually does remind me many, many years ago, I lived in the United Kingdom and we were driving from London out to Bath, and we, it was in during winter, but there was no snow as yet. It was very, very cold. And we noticed there was a hurt animal on the road. And I'd never seen a badger before. And being from Australia, we just don't have badgers here. And when we pulled over on the side of the road, it was actually a badger that had been hurt. And somebody had hit it with their car and not stopped. And so my the person I was with, we picked the badger up, we wrapped it in, and we had a towel in the back, and we wrapped the badger in that, and we took it into Bath, and we found a refuge there. And so to me, that also says something around reminding yourself that there are others around you that might need a little nurturing as well, and that there's something that's going on for you and those close to you that might need just that little bit of extra attention, that little bit of extra care, and that you have the power within you to be able to nurture not only you and your internalness and your internal state, but those around you as well. And so maybe it's about taking the time to stop, recognize it's not all about you, and recognize that there is somebody close to you that might need a little nurturing too. I hope that's been helpful to you. Remember, your inner guidance will know more and more about what that all means to you. And if my message isn't resonating with you, close your eyes. The whole point is to find your internal guidance. And that means rolling your eyes, breathing in, breathing out, and giving yourself the space in your mind to ask you what that brings up for you, what is helpful or not around that, and is there something in your life that these, in this week's reading, we're using medicine cards, the animals, the fish, and the birds, if there's something in those messages and the animals that we did pull, or of course the blank card that we pulled where you can choose your own, is there something in that that you needed to hear, that you needed to know? I am Maggie Wild. I am the Potentialist. You are listening to Dare to Shine on Law of Attraction Radio Network. And remember, this is your time to shine. And it is time for you to shine that little brighter. See you next session. Bye.
Thanks for joining Maggie Wild, the Potentialist. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Please visit Maggie at thepotentialist.com.